Kathy and I were down in Arizona, and a ton of really cool things happened. We got to stay at our friend's house because they are loaded. not even going to lie. But they're so generous, and not just to us, but to a ton of people. And I get the draw for Arizona, especially in January. But then you also, if you live there and you're not a snowbird, you got to live there like for 3 or 4 months where it's hotter than hell itself, I'm sure. But we experienced something remarkable, and I really don't have a ton of time to tell you about it, but I'm going to take some time. We went to this place called the Mystery Castle. Has anybody ever heard of that? Mystery Castle? There was a man who, in 1927, was diagnosed with tuberculosis, and he's from Seattle, and he had been given a 6-month death sentence, and he was like, I'm out. And he left. He left his family. Gone. Took off. Made his way down to Phoenix. Eventually wrote a letter to his wife and his daughter and said, I'm down here. I'm alive. And that's about it. And for 15 years, he built a castle for his daughter in Phoenix, up above in the South Mountain area. And it is, has anybody been to the Watts and see the Watts Towers? This guy like put together this like big, huge castle himself out of all these recycled materials. This is what this man did as well. And there was so much that was going through my mind. He wrote a letter, or they found out that he had passed away. He never died of tuberculosis, by the way. He died of cancer. So either misdiagnosis or he bounced. And I want to tell you that in the midst of all of seeing this wondrous, weird, quirky, 18,000 square foot castle, sand castle, I kept wondering, like, why did you leave your family? And then he built this castle because his daughter hated it that when they were here and they'd go to the beach and build a sand castle that eventually it would break down. And he said, I'm going to build you one day that will never break down. And so he did. And so he loved his family, but he left his family. And I'm like, God, why and what? And they moved down after he had passed away and stayed there for 2 years and then got the deed to the property. And then he had left all kinds of different treasures, literal treasures, 2 $500 bills. I'd never even heard of that before. And money and gold and all this kind of stuff for them. And I don't know how he was figuring it out and what his motivation was. His wife wanted to move back to Seattle. His daughter said, no, let's hang in there for these 2 years and see what happens. And they were glad that they did. Didn't have water, running water. Didn't have electricity for a long time. But here's where I landed on this whole thing. We have a very mysterious God who in some ways seems like he's left, but he hasn't. We wonder where he is. We wonder what he's doing. We wonder why he won't come through for us. We wonder why he does come through for us sometimes and why he came through for her and him and why not me? I mean, all these perplexities and complexities and this confusion. But he has made it clear from the word go that he loves you, that he made you, that he wants you. And he's not making you have to stay. Why and what? There are those times, to be sure. But it's just to dig deeper and find out who he is. And so this year, in 2020, yes, dad joke alert, we're going to see more clearly who Jesus is. You're welcome. I do what I do. All right. But this clarity is going to start for us in understanding that the Holy Spirit lives inside of God's people. His church is his people. It's not a building. It's no longer the temple. And so I'm going to breeze through some really, really important, valuable stuff, but I want to ask that you would grab a hold and understand. And you'll see up on the screen, little Christ. This is what Christian means. It means Christ one, little Christ. Christianos, it means that we are like Jesus in this world. And last week we talked about there's three main themes that we're going to see all the way through the book of Acts, okay? And the first one is, where's God? Where's God? There's times we're like, gosh, if you're good, then why? Or God, I felt you one time, like Josh was talking about during communion, but I don't feel you again, and where are you? And we're going to see that, and we're going to see the answer over and over again. And we're going to see that Jesus' followers are actually going to look like him. His story is going to look like our story. We're going to suffer, but we're going to overcome. We're going to see so many wonderful things happen that are mysterious and challenging and wonderful nonetheless. And finally, because we are God's people and he lives in us, we can't be stopped as his church. Even though we'll try to sometimes stop ourselves. 2020, I want you to imagine, even if the most crazy things happen that are painful, Jesus still is God, awesome, empowering, wonderful, overcomer in you as his people. Even if the most wonderful things happen that you couldn't imagine something better happening, Jesus is still even better. Jesus is. Anything good is because of him. Anything bad can be not only endured, but you can grow from it. Remember, manure is fertilizer, right? We have this crap happens mantra, and it's true, it does. Anybody telling you otherwise, trying to sell you something. But it's not all there is. I talked to a farmer in the airport yesterday, and he said, look, manure in a pile just stinks. But when you spread it around with a purpose, it makes stuff grow. I'm like, word, still smells, but you're right, it gets going. And so I want to ask you to consider that today, that God isn't missing, that he's in his people. He's on his throne. You're going to look like him as his followers. And his church can't be stopped. And so last time we were together, we talked about the fact that Jesus had ascended in front of his dudes, right? While he was praying over them and blessing them. He's like, oh, like some cheap theater trick. But it wasn't a trick. It was legit. He's literally ascending to the throne up in the clouds, and then they can't see him anymore, and these angels are standing alongside of them, and they don't even see the angels because they're like, oh, whoa, what? And they're like, hey, quit hanging around. Go back and do what he told you to do, and he's going to give you the power that he said, and that power is his spirit. And so we'll pick that up. If you guys would, please open up to Acts 2. I've got a couple things I'm going to show you, but I also wanted to share with you a quote from a pastor named Josh Boos. The shepherds stood in wonder at Jesus' birth. The soldiers stood in wonder at Jesus' death. The witnesses stood in wonder at his resurrection and ascension. One day the whole world will bow in wonder at Jesus' return. Now look at this. God is in his people and he's going places. Jesus is for everyone. The Spirit of God is powerful, mysterious, and in his people. That will make you powerful and mysterious. That'll make you a weirdo for some people. That'll make you actually lame to some people. What? Power and mystery can make you lame? Yeah, because they can't control it. Or they don't believe it. Or they see you make a mistake and they're like, oh, then God's just lame. You guys, you can't be perfect. Any one of you, I'd love for you to look to your neighbor and say, you can't be perfect, but that just seems mean. But it's true. You can't be perfect. Look, Jesus said, go back and wait, and you'll get power from on high, and you'll be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. And then they waited. For 10 days, they waited. We'll pick it up. Acts 2. And we'll go 1-4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, so that's 50 days, Penta, 50 days, okay, after the Passover. Jesus had been alive, like resurrected, walking around, coming in and out of rooms without using a wall or without using a door, just boop, 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 in and out, right? And then showing up, and then he ascends 10 days later. This is what happens. The day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Some people think 120 people were together in an upper room. That had to smell. All right. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is what people call speaking in tongues. There are multiple teachings on this. Today, you're not going to get much. Not from me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. He came upon them. We'll find out what kind of tongues they were speaking. That, if that alarm is like for me to shut up, I've got so much time still. Sorry. Look, I don't have time to let you know, but this is actually a repeat of some things that have happened already in the history of God's people. Go and check out Exodus 40 for more on that. 2 Chronicles 7. So Exodus 40, 2 Chronicles 7. 1 Kings 19, Job 38, Ezekiel, the whole book, but in particular, chapter 1, 36, and 43, lots about wind and fire and God's presence. Speaking in tongues. Some people say you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. And it's a tongue that's unknown to you, but might be known to somebody else. Like you're speaking another language that somebody else knows. There's also the reality that it could be speaking in the tongues of angels, which is not a class you can get at Everett CC. You don't get to understand sometimes. I will tell you right now, as your pastor, as one of your elders, as somebody who gets to teach on a regular basis, I have spoken in tongues. I pray in tongues. I don't think that that has made me saved. Jesus Christ has. That is some proof, but it's not the proof. So please, you're not going to hear that from me. You probably won't hear it from any of the other teachers, any of the other pastors, that if unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. You're really baptized in the Spirit if, I think it's a sign, it's not the sign. The sign is new life in Christ. And that comes out in some really cool ways, including speaking in tongues, praying over people and watching them be healed, having discernment, being able to speak into his life without having any idea what's going on in his life. But the Holy Spirit says, yeah, you do. So much more about that to come. But I know I had to snapshot that for you. So they're speaking in tongues they don't know as the Holy Spirit lets them do it. Check out what happens. This is unreal. But it is real, actually. Israel. Okay. Come on back. John, by the way, I saw what you did on Twitter with the no escaping. Yeah. Dad jokes. It was about a prison and stuff. Talk to him. It's funny. All right. Acts 2, 5 through 13. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. It was Passover and Pentecost. Tons and tons of people getting back together, right? To worship Yahweh, to be obedient in their faith, and they're from everywhere. What a great time to break out. And at this sound, remember the sound? Sometimes if you live in this area along the railroad, you might hear the, right? And sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, we're having another earthquake. No, man, I've lived here for 13 years. I lived in Monroe for 11. It is the train, homie. Right? I mean, it's still coming, but it was so loud that people were drawn to it. And at this sound, the multitude came together, all these people from all these different nations of the world who came. And they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing the other people speak in his own language. That would be a little bewildering. What? And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? These are backwoods Jews from northern Israel. And they're speaking our language. What? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, that's people that weren't born Jewish but became Jewish, Cretans, not Jews at all, Arabians, not Jews at all. We hear them telling in our own tongues, our own languages, mighty works of God. The mighty works of God. They were telling of the mighty works of God through Yeshua, Jesus. And God was for everyone. Do you see what he did? He united everybody. He brought the world there and told the world about Jesus in their own language. Look, I've been married for 30 years. We've established that. I'm not bragging except on Jesus. But I've learned over 30 years how to speak Kathy's language. I wouldn't say that I'm actually fluent because I'm lazy, because I'm a dude. She's not necessarily fluent in me, but I'm a little easier to understand for her. But this is in one moment speaking language that was their mother tongue. And they're hearing the good news of Jesus. And God's uniting his church. And so listen to the response. It's really fascinating. And all of them were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking. And they said, "Ah, they're filled with wine. Oh, man, it's not that big a deal. They're just drunk." Listen, there's a whole lot that we could unpack in this, and I'll just have to say it this. There is a common response for us when something happens that we can't control. It can be awe. Something happens, and you see somebody do something, and you hear something, or you experience something. I mean, right now, there's so many people that are excited about the Seahawks getting ready to play Green Bay, and boy, the last time we played them in the playoffs, something awe-inspiring happened. We scored this touchdown and win, and we go to the Super Bowl, and it was over, but then it wasn't, and everybody's, ah, and there wasn't a ton of mocking going on then. It was just, if you're a fan of what happened, you're just stoked about it. If you're not a fan of it, you might be, oh, well, it was lucky and this and that. What's your response when God does something that you can't control? Something amazing, I guess. Do you mock it because that's not God. That's just pizza from last night. That's not God. That's just coincidence. That's not God. Those people are drunk. I mean, first of all, that's so dumb. These people are speaking known languages that they don't know. Oh, they're drunk. Homie, if that's how that worked, there'd be a lot of drunk people trying to learn Spanish. Or Chinese, since they're going to run everything anyways, right? Look, I'm going to get me some tequila, and I'm going to learn Spanish. Or get me some sake, and I'm going to learn Japanese. I mean, what? That's dumb. Except that's all they could do. They try to figure it out on their own. But Peter, one of these common dudes, right? Uneducated, he steps up and he unleashes a very interesting argument. Stay with me. I'm going to read it. I'm going to move around a little bit. But it's a lot of text. And for some of you, you're already napping. So I'm going to start right here. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. That means he yelled and he addressed them. Hey, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. That means everybody there, by the way. Like, hey, home fries and everybody who's here on a visit. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Listen up, for these people are not drunk as you suppose. They are filled, they are immersed, they're drunk, if you will, on the Spirit, but not on wine like you think, since it's only the third hour of the day. Look, it's only 9 o'clock. We don't start doing that till lunch. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Now he brings the Bible in, this uneducated man. And in the last days it shall be that God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means speak the truth of God, even talk about what's going to happen in the future. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Lots on that, but I'll just say, visions and dreams, even on my male servants and my female servants. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on earth below, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Listen to this, church. This is so important for you this morning. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look, these signs are amazing, but all it's really for is to know that you can be saved. And who can do the saving? Filled with the Spirit people speaking in other languages? No, they actually aren't the Savior. Who does it say all the way back in the book of Joel is the Savior? It's the Lord. This is all happening to point people to the Lord. A lot of times when people have the sign gifts, they point people to themselves. Look at me. Come to me. I'll save you, but you're going to have to bring some money. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, he's like, look, you guys already know, you've seen it. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. God knew and God foreplanned. He designed this whole thing that Jesus would suffer. Have you sat in your day, in your moment, in your pain, and gone, there's no way God would let this happen if there was a good God? Or he's got something for you that you wouldn't believe if he told you ahead of time. But it hurts, I know. He's with you. So he was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. You couldn't kill him, but you got him killed through the Romans. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Look, we're here to testify that there's this witness opportunity that we have seen this Jesus died, buried, and risen from the dead. And then he quotes the Bible some more. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. I love this, by the way. Your heart's filled with stuff. It's going to come out of your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? Good question for all of us, really. So I got to read up here because this Bible has something torn out of it. I'll blame it on Josiah. All right. For you will not abandon. No, hold on. For he is in my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Hey, I'm going to live still, and I'm going to dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence, not with the lotto and not with the girl that thinks I'm great and not with the dude that's amazing, but with your presence. And he says, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, about David, King David, this amazing dude. He both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. They could literally go to where he was buried and know that he hadn't risen from the dead. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ. That he was not abandoned to Hades or hell, nor did his flesh see corruption. Jesus was in the grave how long? There's no corruption there. His body isn't even decaying yet. He didn't stay there, is what is being talked about. You remember Matthias, right? He had to be chosen to be a witness of the resurrection because people are going to be like, nah. It's not true. No, there were so many people that saw him, at least 500 even at one time. Jesus, that is, risen from the dead. So, this Jesus, God raised up. And of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. We're not drunk. We're bearing witness of God. And his Spirit is now here inside of his people. You no longer have to go to the temple. You no longer have to go to a church service. You no longer have to actually read the right Bible verses. And now I've got the Spirit. He's going to show them and show us exactly how you and I can receive the Holy Spirit. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, King and Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, Big Boss. And this Jesus is the one whom you crucified. Oh yeah, by the way. You guys killed him. He's told him that twice. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? There's no more mocking going on. There's no more, oh, these dudes are drunk. Instead, being that Jesus is for everyone, they are like, okay, what do we do? There's only one redemptive response. There's only one thing that you and I can do that would allow us to be saved. And Peter said to them, repent. Change directions. Stop living the same old way. Stop doing the same old things. Stop blaming God. Stop cursing people. Gosh, this goes back to the first people, by the way, Adam and Eve. Hey, What are you hiding for? Where are you? Oh, I heard you walking and I was afraid because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Nobody. It was the woman, actually. She told me to eat it. He's like, first of all, God said, did you eat from that? Like a good dad, he knows exactly what we've done. But he asks anyways, hey, did you eat that food? I told you not to. It was that woman. So he blames the woman. And he actually blames God in that, by the way, because God made the woman, because it wasn't good for him to be alone. And we do that all the time. And the woman's like, no, it wasn't me. It was that snaky thing. It was Satan. The devil made me do it. And God punished everybody because he loves us. He's a good dad. Read Hebrews 12. And then he gives us salvation in himself. Gosh, it's so good. So repent, change directions, quit blaming everybody. Be baptized, be made new, dead to yourself in the water, out of the water, alive in Christ. Now you are part of the body of Christ. Recognize that you need Jesus. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness, and he continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. I'm going to tell you again, you and I cannot save ourselves apart from repentance to Jesus Christ, forgiveness from him, new life in him. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that very day about 3,000 souls. Wow. Let me tell you really quick. Seek the Spirit of God in prayer, in scripture reading, scripture memorizing, scripture teaching. Share the good news with each other and also fellowship with other little Christs. Get together with your brothers and sisters. I'm going to read the rest here. And they devoted themselves, gave themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, it's being together, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. We're in this together. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You guys, so often people are like, oh man, we need to go back to the first century church. We need to be like them. I don't disagree with that. They were a hot mess, which you're going to find out a whole lot more about as we read through the book of Acts. They needed Jesus and forgot about him. The Holy Spirit lived in them and they still sinned, but they couldn't be stopped. Every time they were starting to be crushed and persecuted, the church actually spread. And it's still happening that way today. I want to remind you of a couple of things. It's not on the board, so listen close to this. The main ideas: where is God? He's on the throne and he's in his people. Jesus' followers will look like him. We will stand up, we'll be bold, we'll be persecuted, we'll overcome. We will live forever. And who can stop Jesus' church? Nobody. Look, I have a lot that I want to share with you, and I'll have to just go ahead and read it for you. But this from Galatians 5, 22 through 25, you can write it down. I'm just going to breeze. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If you are a Christ follower, a Christ one, a little Christ, his Spirit is in you. Live like he told you. It's not like, whatever, God, if you want me to wake up today and go to work, Holy Spirit, just do it. If you're saying that, you probably already know you're supposed to get up and go about. Do you start your day like, Jesus, this is your day, do your thing in me? Absolutely. But get up and walk it out. You're not hypnotized. You're filled with the Spirit of God. Let's go. Well, I know what I'm supposed to do. A friend of mine told me this just a couple days ago. I know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't really want to do it. Well, there's some honesty. I can appreciate that. What's the desired outcome that we would have? Increased sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and obedience. And so, you guys will hear this over and over and over again. But Galatians 5, 22 through 25 has this list of what the Spirit's gifts and fruit is like. And I'll just say it. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Gosh, hold on, wait a minute. So I give up control to the Spirit of God, and he gives me back self-control. Wow, that's weird. Yeah, it is, and it's beautiful. And you don't get to go, well, I'd like some more patience, and I'll take some of that joy. Love, I'm all right with that. Oh, faithfulness, my wife could use that. Gentleness, my husband could use that. No, it's all of this is going to happen to us as the Spirit fills us and as we live in obedience. And listen to this, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So again, on the screen, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, very quickly, is what it looks like to use your freedom. Galatians 5, 13 through 21. Yes, I did it out of order on purpose. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Fix your eyes on Jesus and follow him, and the flesh isn't going to be your master. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. They're at odds, for they're opposed to each other. To keep you from doing the things that you want to do, your flesh will pimp you out. Quit feeding it. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. This is the fruit from the flesh. Sexual immorality, which is sex outside of marriage. Holy sexuality is the sexuality that honors Jesus Christ. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, for those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are more acquainted with and identified by the list of the bad stuff than the fruit of the Spirit, repent. Jesus loves you. He wants you. He's not going to count your stuff against you if you repent. If you don't, you're going to hang on to it, and it's going to drown you. So, this is how we finish. Stay in the light. Be awake. Be careful. Be understanding. Being filled with the Spirit. Sing songs in your heart. Be thankful. And submit. Submit to God. All of that list is homework for you. Read through the book of Luke and go read Ephesians 5. Read it, believe it, and live it. One more time, guys. The Spirit of God is powerful, mysterious, and he's in his people, and he's going places. Will you bring him? Will you share him? Will you show him? Some of you don't even know Jesus, and so today you've been introduced. If you want him, he's yours. Not like a little puppy. Here, you come here. All right, let me teach you how to do what I want you to do. He's God. But you can repent. You can turn to him. You can be set free. You can be filled up. And you can live this victorious life. And when you fall, he's in you and he will pick you up. Jesus, thank you for that. I praise you that it's as simple as recognizing you. That you're the Lord. No human king will do. It's only you. God, I thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Thank you for your word that is faithful. May we understand you and believe you. God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for never, ever counting us out if we're in you. I pray for my friends. I know that there's people suffering hardcore today right here in this very room. I know there's people rejoicing hardcore right here in this very room. Pray for all of us to find our strength, our sustenance, our power in you, Holy Spirit. Not in our flesh, because that will not last. God, you are not here to do my will. I'm here to do yours. You show me how to trust you. Show my dear friends how to trust you. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, I pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.